there. This is Stacey Mulkey, and welcome to my very first episode of Electronics 101. Yes, I agree. I need a better title than that, but it is what it is. I'm going to cover all the basics for getting started with electronics, maybe, you know, cover some microcontrollers and a little bit of software along the lines to get you started in this area. Today, what I want to cover is a breadboard. A breadboard is a solderless piece of equipment that's really good for prototyping your circuit designs. When it comes to a breadboard, you need to think temporary. You can plug in your components, plug in your wires, make sure that everything works. And then at that point, when everything's golden and you know that you're good to go, you might want to move your circuit and everything else along with it to something a little bit more permanent. Many of the starter kits that you can get for some of the common microcontrollers like the Arduino or the Raspberry Pi, they all come with a breadboard, and for good reason. Breadboards can come in different colors and they can come in different sizes. If we take a look at the one that I'm showing here, this is pretty standard and it's what you might get in some of the starter kits for some of those microcontrollers. This breadboard is about the size of a pack of cards, and it fit in my palm, and you can see just the size of it in comparison to my hand that I have here. Now, breadboards can come, you know, in different colors, like I said, or sizes, and so sometimes you'll often see something really small like that that's really, really good if you have only a few things going on. You'll see this one that I like to call the crystal version. I find these ones a little bit harder to work with because maybe my vision's going, I'm not sure, but it's just really harder for me to see my connections just in this kind of clear container here. I talked about moving your circuits away from something temporary to something a little bit more permanent, and so you might be looking at something like this, which is a Perma Proto size breadboard, and you'll notice that it doesn't have the thickness, and this, at this point, you're going to have to break out your soldering iron and go nuts and start to put in your wires and your components. And this is when you're finalizing something. You might use something like this. Let's take a look at how breadboards work and what they're made up of. So if we look at this breadboard that I have here, you'll see that there are two power rails. Now, it's important to note that currently these two power rails are independent. They are not connected in any way, sort, or fashion at this point in time. They are not going steady, and so they work very much independently of each other. You'll see the plus being positive, almost always in red. You'll see the negative being ground in blue here. Often that's comes up in as a black wire in your circuits. And these power rails actually run vertically. And so what's happening in this breadboard, if I just flip it this way, you'll see it's quite thick, is that there are actually wires that are running all the way underneath. And these little divots, often called nodes, for example, allow you to plug in your components or your wires, and they kind of get clipped in into that connection and touch that wire to make all your connections, you know, across the board wherever you may put them. Now, the power rail here, these run vertically. And so if you can imagine under these little divots or these nodes, there's a wire running all the way underneath and they run vertically up and down. And so you might plug in something, you know, at the top here, you could plug in something at the bottom and they would be connected. They'd both be getting, you know, power from those kind of columns there. Now, in the middle here, if we call these the power rails, these are often called terminals, and this is where you might plug in your component. And the terminals here, they actually run horizontally. And so if you see number one, if you plug something into 1A, right where my finger's at right now, you know, you could plug it in anywhere along the line from 1A, B, C, D to E, and they would be connected, right? And then the same on this side. So if you can't really imagine those wires running underneath, I'm going to take this blue one, and you can always peel away the back, and you'll see, again, there's this wire that's running all the way down, and that's where these match up. All right, and this ravine in the middle, this little ditch or gulf or whatever you want to call it, I kind of like ditch, it actually serves a purpose in this design of this breadboard. Now, often what this was created is it isolates these two terminal sides, so they're not inherently connected together, and they run independently like the power rails do. And the reason why that they put in this ravine or this kind of a ditch is because when we start using integrated circuits, sometimes people call them ICs, you will see that they have these connectors on either side of them, right? And so the connectors on either side of them can take on either side of the breadboard. And so what happens is that if I actually put this item here, each one of those little nodes, which I want to be independent, are going to be connected together because they are touching that wire underneath on that terminal going across. But this ravine, or, you know, this ditch separates these two. And so now they're created with this in mind, and we can just plug that in and we have access to all of those inputs and outputs on either side of this integrated circuit. Now, breadboards are good for both simple or complex circuitry, depending on what you're doing. And a lot of people never move their stuff off of the breadboard. They just start to prototype their circuits on it and then just keep it because it works. And sometimes you really just don't want to move anything from it. What's important to note is that if you're going to use your breadboard, and let's just bring in a microcontroller, and I'm going to bring in an Uno, for example. I'll face it this way. If I want to get power from the Uno and I want to make sure that I can connect things on my breadboard, what I can do is I can make sure that I'm plugging into power here and I'm doing power there. And so what that means is it means my next item that I might connect in and get power from, I can now get power from anywhere along here. And that's how you start to work with one of these breadboards, is you start to just put the wires in, add them in here, wherever you need to do, and then you can start to build your circuitry along here, and you're not worrying so much about the pins and everything else on your microcontroller here. So that's the basics of working with a breadboard. In the next video, I'm going to show you, and probably, with my luck, over-explain how to set up an LED circuit and understand exactly what's going on there. Thanks again. Hope to see you in the next video, and you can find me online at BitUcodes.